Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hey, give a round of, who knew that Luke spoke Japanese? You guys did? That was fantastic. A round of applause for even Luke and the team helping out. You know what? If you two groups can like shift in, like come to these chairs right here. So the girls, they don't have cooties. We'll do some intermingling too a little bit later. Okay. You know, there are times when you walk into a presentation or you hear a message and it profoundly impacts your life. It is my hope and my prayer that that happens to many of you here today. Everyone from you, Deanne, Leanne, Michelle, Chelsea, Alice, Carrie, who else did I get to meet? Tony back there, there's Sandy who came on Sunday. Different girls over here. There are some people here, Naomi and Raina, all the way from Houston, that decided to make it. We have Natalia and Danita that came earlier. April, Catherine and her group right here. Toby, Jason, Scott, Kyle, Lucas, Dan, Edwin, Tim, Mario. There's Corrado. Sei italiano. Possiamo parlare tutta notte in italiano. Corrado's here from Italy, as a matter of fact, and Alan and Zach. So we got a lot of people. I hope to know your name. Two questions you might be having is, who is this guy and what's he going to share? My name is Todd Sinelli, and I'm a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. That's who I am. Professionally, I've worked in the financial markets for about 10, 15 years. Kyle is here. He used to work at the SIBO where I was for a couple years. Where are you at, Kyle? Yeah, he was with Infineon Capital in Chicago. So it's fun having some people with professional trader backgrounds. I was a director for international franchise for a local brand here. Last year, I traveled over 100,000 miles. If one lap around the globe is 25,000 miles, so you can do the math on that. It's a lot of traveling. I've been a professional magician. I've been a missionary in Italy. I have been a director of a counseling for a megachurch, and also an author. I've written 5 books. There's a children's book. There's a book of quotes. There's a children's book of parables modeled after the greatest teacher in the world and how he taught in parables. I did a book on true riches, the difference between being rich in the eyes of God versus rich in the eyes of the world. And we're going to go through one simple word. And you also have a workbook to supplement that. So I'm glad you're here. Hopefully you'll learn the names of the people that you're with, and I hope to learn names. I think there's an over-under how many names I could capture tonight, but in the interest of time, we could go a little quicker. I'm going to make a confession. I've spoken to churches, corporations, colleges, and one thing I've learned is that people want to be entertained more than they want to be educated. Even when I go and I look at a newspaper, I don't know if anyone does this, but as soon as I grab a newspaper, I'll go to the life or the entertainment section, and I'll flip through. And here's a story about Susan Boyle, who won the contest for singing. There's Ian McGregor has a new movie out, and learn about his life. Everybody seems to have a story or something to share. But you know, the truth is, as you learn about people and their lives, things happen. Things can happen where life can tear you up. There's things people say and things that people do that can really hurt. And even over time, there might be some events that happen in your life where it feels like you're torn, shredded, and even all these different pieces try to get away from you, and your life can feel like this torn up, shredded piece of newspaper. But you know what? The trick in life is getting to a point where you can actually just put yourself right back together. So you guys. So tonight, I'm going to entertain you a little bit, but more importantly, I want you to be educated. So if you would, everybody put your hands out for a second. Put your hands out like this. Bring them together really quick. Look down. Who here has their right thumb over their left thumb? Raise them up like that. You know what that means? You're really intelligent. So look down. Who here has their left thumb over their right? Raise that up. You know what that means? You're really good looking. So now that I have nothing but intelligent, good-looking people with us, keep your hands together and just get open in another word of prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for the people that are here. May this message be fresh. May it be insightful. May it deepen and develop many of the relationships, first with you, and secondly with one another. We give thanks for this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so this is an interactive evening. I have a gift here, and this is going to go to probably the most interactive person. And I'll tip my hand here. This is a gift for a spa here in Dallas, and it's a unique, very novel spa here. So I'll reward you for interacting with the speaker, so you guys might want to pay attention when we ask some questions up here. One simple word. Two questions. Who is this guy, and what's he going to talk about? Introduce myself. Tonight, I'm going to talk about one simple word, and it really is just that. It's one simple word. Albert Einstein said, complicated is easy. Simple is difficult. We want simple relationships, personally, professionally, and even spiritually. And honestly, it's a lot of work to get something really simple. As a matter of fact, Leonardo da Vinci, anyone been to Rome, Sistine Chapel? One of his quotes is that simplicity is the ultimate in sophistication. Simplicity is the ultimate in sophistication. When you get things really simple, personally, professionally, even spiritually, things will get clear and life will be kind of maybe a little bit more difficult, but pretty simple. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11:3, he says, I'm afraid, as Eve was deceived by the serpent, so your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to the Lord. So we're going to teach you one simple word. And you might be asking, what is this one simple word? And we'll get to that in a second. Just the overview and the expectations. Questions can impact lives. I spent a number of years asking people, has there ever been a question that profoundly impacted your life? And the responses varied. One guy that was 82 years old said, yes, Todd, 39 years ago, someone asked me, would you like to go to a meeting? And the meeting was for AA. And he's been sober ever since. He goes, that question profoundly impacted my life. A 29-year-old girl in California said, the question, will you marry me, profoundly impacted her life. She said yes. 3 kids, and 10 years later, she's glad she said yes. There's another person that said, when he was asked the question, do you want to take a hit? He regretted not saying no and got caught up in a life of drugs, alcohol, jail. Questions can impact lives. The questions we ask and the questions we answer can profoundly impact your life. Secondly, questions can begin relationships. Whether it was JP or someone in your community group just said, hey, would you like to come to study? Come check it out. Maybe it was an invitation from JP or from Luke today. Said, come join us for the One Simple Word study. Questions can begin relationships. Probably the person you're here with or whom you're going to meet a little bit later. Most relationships begin with a simple question. What's your name? Nice to have you here, Jessica and Kyle. They came together. It's so fun to meet people when God introduces us in different ways, and a simple question can begin a relationship. And third, questions can act as a barometer for relationships. Asking someone, would you like to join me for coffee, is far different than, will you marry me? There's a spectrum and a whole different level of questions and conversations. And the one simple word that could profoundly impact your life, ask. It's in Matthew 7:7, when Jesus is beginning the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, ask, you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. It is one simple word with profound impact. Now, we're going to talk a lot about Jesus through this study. And we're going to do a little Jesus quiz. So we have a Jesus quiz coming up here. What I want you to do is to go through those 4 questions and then just kind of look up when you're done or look at me so I know you're finished. So just go ahead, and if Liz can play some music just as you're going through these questions. So see how you do, and maybe write your answers down on your workbook or in the back of the workbook. So go ahead and take that quiz, and then once people process some of their answers, we're going to go ahead and continue on. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yes, true or false. Thank you, Luke. I didn't catch that. True or false, the first 3 questions, and then 4 is open. Clear? Great question, Kim. Thank you for asking. Point number one. Hey, Kim's keeping tally. How you guys doing as you're finishing up, looking at some of those questions? First question on the Jesus quiz. We only have a glimpse into about 200 days of Jesus' life. How many people said true to that one? How many people said false? About half and half. False. 45 days. We only have a glimpse into about 45 days into the life of Christ. By the way, there's a bibliography in the back, and you can check the references for all this stuff. It's a gentleman out of John Deere looked at it as an engineer with an MBA and an MDiv and just traced it out. We only have an insight, a glimpse into about 45 days of Jesus' life. You think if you were to write your biography or autobiography, what days would you include? And even you consider, like, what days stand out of Jesus' life? What days stand out when you think of his life? Walking on water, yeah, that's an event. When he started his ministry, crucifixion. Day he was born, fed 5,000. In the temple, yep. Praying in the garden, John 17. The resurrection. We got a spa treatment on the line here, everybody. This is a little lucky cue right here. Raising Lazarus, Mary and Martha as an audience. John 9, Mark 10. There's a lot. When you really think about it, there's so many different events that happen, but it's compressed into 45 days of Jesus' life. All we know of Jesus from the age 12 to 30 is Luke 2:52. Does anyone know that passage? Good job. Did you hear Amy? Let me again. Luke 2:52, this is the only passage or what we know from all the scripture about Jesus' life from the time he's 12 to the time he's 30. Go ahead, Amy.
Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
That is all we know. Thank you. Very good. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Give Amy a round of applause. Look at that. That was a good celebration. The second question, 9 times out of 10, when Jesus is asked a question, he responds with a question. How many people said true? How many people said false? True. Rabbi Zacharias did a study on it, and 9 times out of 10, when Jesus is asked a question, he responds with a question. Bill Gates was once asked, like, what's your definition of an intelligent person? And he said an intelligent person to him is someone that will listen in on a conversation, assimilate the information, and begin asking intelligent questions. He got a perfect score on the math section, the SAT. Does anyone have their Bible? I want you to go to Luke 2:46 and show you something of Jesus. Luke 2:46. By the way, how many people have, like, their hard copy Bible? Raise that up. How many people use their phone? That's amazing. It's like half and half now. Luke 2, verse 46. First one there. And some of the hard copy guys beat the electronic guys almost all the time. It's interesting. Do you got it, Emily? Do you want to read? No, that's a workbook you're looking at. Carrie, who wants to go through? Chelsea, you ready? 2:46.
Oh, no. Pressure. Okay. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions.
This is Jesus at the age of 12. Bill Gates can, define an intelligent people, but there you see Jesus actually modeling that. He's sitting among the teachers, listening to them, assimilating the information, and he begins asking intelligent questions. At the age of 12, 9 times out of 10, when he's asked a question, he responds with a question. How about the third one? In the Gospels, there are over 300 questions that Jesus asked. How many people said true? Hadassah, Rachel, Jonah, true. Stephanie's unsure. She just celebrated her birthday, so she's just discombobulated there. We got. How many people said false? True. 307. There's roughly 307 questions that Jesus asked in the New Testament, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many questions can you recall? And this isn't meant to embarrass anyone. It's really fascinating. Who here knows the question that Jesus asked or would like to share? Go ahead, Kim.
Do you want to be healed?
Do you want to be healed? Nice. Anyone else? Go ahead.
Who do you say that I am?
Matthew 16:15. Who do you say I am? Anyone else? Go ahead. Shout it out. Let him. Is that a statement or a question? Maybe that's a good statement. I like it, though. We'll work with that. How about the ladies over here? Any questions? Sandy came Sunday night, so she might have been thinking about this. Who touched me? The woman. Mark chapter. Kim, go ahead.
Where are your accusers?
Wow, the woman at the well. John chapter 4. How many people had one question?
Have you forsaken me?
Ooh, that's a big question. Yeah, good, Liz. How many people got at least one? How many people got two? Raise your hand high. How many people answered three? So I've been doing this for a few years. Most pastors or elders, they can't answer one or two questions. And it's not meant to embarrass anyone. Seriously, it's not. It's meant to see the brilliance of Jesus found in the statements he made, but really in the questions that he asked. Anyone get over three? You got three? Anyone get over four? Did you? Over five? No? Good job. Good job. You're going to learn a lot of questions. You're going to learn a lot about a different aspect of Jesus than before. And tonight, we're going to give you a little overview of Jesus' most frequently asked question. This is a question asked the most frequently in all of Scripture from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Before we get to that, I want you to think about, what is your most frequently asked question? And if you have your phone, text your best friend or your mom or anyone else. Call them right now. Seriously, grab your phone or whatever you want to do. Call who knows you best and ask them in the next slide, what is my most frequently asked question? Oh, sorry, this is another stuff. We'll get pause that. Start thinking of that question as you just move along. When you learn about Jesus, you're going to learn about, one, his word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You'll ask more questions about his words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but guess what? The Word of God will be forever. We're going to be talking about these words forever. It's a really good time to do that. So the more you learn about Jesus, the more you'll ask about his word. Secondly, his way. Jesus said, I am the way. It's a definitive article, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Psalm 25, verse 4, the psalmist writes, show me your ways. Teach me your paths. You learn about Jesus. You learn about his word, his ways, his will, his wisdom. All the wisdom is found in Christ Jesus. In Colossians 2, verse 2 through 4. In 1 Corinthians 3:19, it says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God. The more you learn about Jesus, the more you're going to learn about his word, his ways, his will, and his wisdom and his will. Matt, anyone grew up Catholic? Anyone Catholic here? So do you know the Our Father prayer? Our Father, how does it go? What was that last sentence? Where? The more you look at Jesus, you're going to understand what is the will of God. And by embracing this one simple word, your relationships with Jesus and with others will deepen and develop beyond what you could ask or even imagine. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, it says, he is able, his divine power, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ask or even imagine. It's one simple word. Now, back to who knows you best, your friend, your wife, singles here for the most part, your girlfriend, who knows you best? Call them right now, text them, maybe it's someone in your community group or a friend that you brought, and just discuss for a second, what is your most frequently asked question? Go ahead and do that now. Yeah, what is your most frequently, the question you ask the most frequently? Anyone get a response yet? Anyone? Go ahead. Danita, what is your most frequently asked question?
Why?
Why? Okay. Anyone else get a response? Catherine back here. Who's bold enough to share? Oh, she's on the phone right now. Daya? Nothing? Hadassah? Anything come back? Rachel? What do you have, Tara?
Tara,
how are you? Most frequently asked question. Okay. How about you, ladies? Most frequently asked question. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Nice. Who do you ask that to? Her. There you go. Right. That's right on. Okay. Is that true? Is that her most frequently asked question? Yeah. Good. How about you, ladies? Yeah. Go ahead, Rachel.
Do you love them well?
Do you love them well? Wow, this is a seminary student here. So that's it was probably her professor that answered that one. Your sister, way to go. Way to go. Anyone in this group bold enough? Frequently asked. You get to it. Go ahead.
How are you doing?
How are you doing? Thank you. Yeah? What are you doing?
Yeah,
what are you up to? The guys are going to have different questions. Let's see what the guys most frequently ask questions. You girls even want to guess? What are you guys? They're not even doing the exercise. Look at this. Over here. They're like drinking the soda. I'm totally kidding. What do you have, Raphael?
I don't have one yet.
Okay. See? We got to learn. He's got a lot to learn. How about over here, Tim?
Still waiting on a response.
Still waiting. Edwin, you got anything?
Not yet.
Victor does. Victor, frequently asked question.
What do you want to eat?
What do you want to eat? I love that. Is that...
Still waiting.
Lucas is waiting. Okay. Kyle's waiting. He's testing Jessica over there, so she wants a response. How about, what do you have, John?
Jason? Just yet.
No, it's still coming? Any of the guys over here? Doug?
He said I didn't have any answers to inform me.
Really? Yeah. Wow, that might precipitate a conversation to come. How about you guys? Anything? What'd you have?
Can we watch the Rangers game?
Oh, there's a big Ranger fan. You know, you think about it. If I followed you around enough for a time, I could probably figure out your most frequently asked question. So could most people. We're going to look at Jesus' most frequently asked question. And there it is. So would anyone guess what the most frequently asked question is? You guys are good. I love this group. So easy. The most frequently asked question in all the scripture by Jesus is that, what do you want me to do for you? If you can, flip to your Bible to Mark chapter 10. I want to show you this in one passage. Mark chapter 10. Starting in verse 32, you come into the story, and they're on the road going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were fearful. Again, he took the 12 aside and he began to tell them what's going to happen to them, saying, behold, we're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they'll condemn him to death. They'll hand him over to the Gentiles. They'll mock him. They'll spit on him, scourge him, kill him. 3 days later, rise again. Just pretend if your friend or whoever's answering that question came to you and they just said, hey, here's the deal, Tony. I'm going to be beaten, spit, scourged, and die. Watch what the disciples respond to this statement. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you. Are you kidding? Like here Jesus is saying, I'm going to be spit on, scourged, killed in 3 days. And like, yeah. Let's focus over here for a second. We want you to do whatever we ask you to do. Now watch Jesus come in as the sweetest servant, the most gracious conversationalist. And he said to him, what do you want me to do for you? They said, grant that we might sit on your right and your left when you come in your glory and in your power. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Like the constant time, they wanted power, they wanted position, they wanted to rule, as opposed to what you're going to see to become more of a better servant. And Jesus walks him through and even asks him, are you able to drink the cup? There's his response with a question, right? To be baptized with the baptism which I'm baptized? They said, we're able. By the way, he's about to be baptized with the wrath of God. And like, yeah, we got that too. They don't even know what they're saying in this interaction with Christ. And then Jesus comes and he says, sit on my right or left. It's not mine to give. It's been for those who it's been prepared. Hearing this, the 10 began to feel indignant with James and John. In other words, all the other disciples are like, what'd you ask that for? Come on. You guys shouldn't have popped that question. What was wrong with you? And then Jesus gathers them to himself. Hearing this, calling them to himself, Jesus said, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it's not to be this way among you. That second person plural, it's like the people that don't know God love the positions of power and they love to lord it over people so that they can rule and torque. And if you've ever had a difficult or oppressive boss, you know it's not fun. Or you've been in a relationship that someone loves to rule over you. And Jesus says, you guys, it's not to be this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be a servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be a servant of all. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. His most frequently asked question positions himself as the greatest helper, the greatest servant, the greatest encourager this world has ever seen. We look at different companies that have imbued and adapted this. Where's Jack and Jared and Joe? Come on up here for a second. They have a couple questions for you. Do you want me to come up, Jack? You come in this way? Give them a round of applause. Or they're just coming up to help out for different... Jack, Joe, and Jared, take it away.
Okay. So, yeah, Jared and Joe, I'm Jack. Yes, we are doing the Oreo cookie thing tonight. It's great. A lot of debate with Oreos, right? What's better, the cookie or the cream? So let's do a quick poll. Who likes the cookie of the Oreo? Some people, okay. Now, who likes the cream filling? Yes. Good choice. Awesome. Okay. Quit talking about Oreos. Let's get to business. Chick-fil-A, not a Christian company, but a company built on biblical principles. So they do a lot of things right, and we take note of that. Who can, raise your hand, who can tell me what they say when you go place an order? Correct. For a prize.
Show them what you get, Jack. Raise that up. Nice. Chick-fil-A catwalk, huh?
Hey, y'all. My name's Joe. I'm actually a new community group leader here, so kind of super excited to see all y'all interested in community or getting into community. My question tonight is, what does a cow say? In the back. No, not moo. That's not the one I'm looking for. Yes, eat more chicken.
Cows at Chick-fil-A. Nice.
All right. It's great to see you all here tonight. My name is Jared, and this question is really tough. It's probably harder than the Jesus quiz you just went through. What day of the week is Chick-fil-A closed? Okay, I don't have enough cows to give y'all, but I'm going to go with the girl in the back here. She was first, I think.
Thank you, Jared. Give these guys a round of applause for helping out. It's really interesting. When you go to Chick-fil-A, they don't say thank you or you're welcome, and you can test them on this. The Chick-fil-A's in the area, they'll always say, it's my pleasure. They learn language protocol, and they learn how to actually take pleasure in serving people. And it's, what, 12, 18 inches from your head to your heart? But it's a big distance, because there's a difference when you serve. Chicken's a commodity. You can get it anywhere. You can get a chicken sandwich. But when they serve it with pleasure, it's like, I like that. When they hold the door open for you. Ritz-Carlton, has anyone been to the Ritz-Carlton? You have. What's it like when you stay at the Ritz-Carlton? And if they can't, they'll find someone that can. Anyone else had an experience at Ritz-Carlton? Go ahead. You were sick? Elizabeth stayed there. They brought her tea. She was sick. They called. Just really took care of her. Warm blankets. Any of the guys been to Ritz? Go ahead. Interesting. Every employee, no matter where you are, they know your name. Every employee at the Ritz-Carlton will carry their motto card, and they say this at the beginning of every day. Here's the Ritz-Carlton motto. We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. Their whole company philosophy and business is built on serving and the service model. If you ever stay there, you get sick, you'll be treated better than your mom, maybe. If you go there, anywhere you go, they know your name, they know who you are, they know what you like, they know if you need a blanket, if you like the room temperature. They know a lot. They really anticipate how to serve you. They have three things, actually, in their training. And they go through this in the morning, too, with the motto, but they make sure that they know the guest's name, they greet them. They anticipate a need, even that know they're going to need a pen and might hand it to a person. They also have a fond farewell. When the person leaves. Those are three things. When you go into the Ritz-Carlton, you'll be greeted very well. They'll take care of anything you need, and there'll be a fond farewell. something that perhaps we can learn to imbue into our relationships as well. You know the disciples? You know what their most frequently asked question was? They were whining a lot of times. That's so true. You know, this is like, I want you guys to come. When you come here, it's going to be stuff not in the book too. And we're going to work with Luke and Lindsay and do some more interaction in the weeks to come. The disciples' most frequently asked question, which one of us is the greatest? They're constantly quarreling about this, not only in the upper room, but you see it about four times in Scripture. You can go to Matthew 18. They're having a conversation. Mark chapter 9. Let me just show it to you, actually, in Mark chapter 9, so you guys can find it and look at it for yourself. Mark chapter 9, verse 33. If you start, actually in 33, they're on their way to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, Jesus began to question them. And he asked them, what were you guys talking about? What were you guys talking about on the way when we were traveling? By the way, when Jesus asks a question, he kind of knows the answer. You ever do that with your parents? Like your parents will ask you something maybe when you're younger and like, where were you? Out. Like they know you were out and they probably know where you were. Exactly. But anyway, they come into this. What were you discussing on the way? But they can't silent. For on the way, they're discussing which one of the was the greatest. Jesus is constantly having to correct these whining guys, but that's just something to think about. And it's, you know, our society loves it. Greatest athlete, greatest football team, greatest baseball team, all these different things. Like, we love to talk about, like, which one's the greatest. Truly, Jesus is the greatest communicator. He's the greatest servant. Any superlative you can think of, he's that. He's the greatest conversationalist. By the way, he invented words. So he probably knows how to use the words pretty well. It's interesting, in Proverbs 25, verse 11, it says, apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstance. When you say the right word at the right time, it's really beautiful. I've said the wrong word at the wrong time and different times. It's not that fun. Proverbs 15:11. Anyone go there? It says, a man has joy in a apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. When you become more precise with your words and the simplicity of conversation and communication, your relationships will deepen and develop, not only with God, but with one another through one simple word. So whether we admit it or not, we need help in our relationships, not only with God, but with one another. And how do we receive help? What is it? I like you guys. It's going. It's clicking. It's starting to click. We ask. It's one simple word. You're going to go through a workbook, and hopefully you have the workbook with you. And the way this is set up is the first week is focused on Jesus' most frequently asked question that we went through tonight. And when you look at the theme word for the week, it's serve. And you'll find this in the workbook, and it will really be explanatory. And as the disciples were talking about who is greatest, you know, and at the end of Joshua, when Joshua is discipling the people and Moses has kind of handed him over and he's in charge, you know what he says in Joshua 24? As for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. This is a personal decision that people make. And it usually starts with the family, or it starts with relationships. But that's something, too, that you'll explore this first week. So as we go through what's included for the One Simple Word study, when you look at this word, ask, asking, being asked, it's a conversation. It'll put you into a relationship. It can impact lives. But as your conversations, we're a church. You're going to talk about a certain topic, and you can talk about so many different things. But it's really wonderful to get people more conversant about the Scriptures. And that will drive a community. You'll have some of the best relationships in your life that are aligned with God's word. And you discuss them, you remind them, you teach one another and help one another to be followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we're about here, to help you do that, to talk with Jesus and talk with one another about Jesus. So over the next few weeks, what you need is a Bible. And whether you have an electronic Bible or not, you need a copy of this book, which is the One Simple Word. Some of you have it. If you don't, it's here tonight for $10. If you don't have the money, grab one or take one or go online to littorch.com, make a donation. So we know you're here for $15 and it sells for $20. this workbook, so it's a deal. But if you can, Joe, Jared, and Jack are going to be at the back room. So you need to read through this. It's a light book, but it's a little bit deep. So there's a few pages and a few chapters, like 5 pages, but you have to read through this. And then you start tomorrow on your One Simple Word workbook. And it's going to lay out, if your partner's here, and we're going to match some people up with your partners, read the intro together. And it's just one of the things that you're going to need to do, schedule a time to meet with your partner on Wednesday. I strongly suggest you to meet in person. You can do an email or things like that, or phone. Meet in person if you can. Figure out a day or date to meet. And then on next Sunday, next Sunday, have the questions done in the workbook, and then you're going to discuss them here, and we're going to do the discussion, and there'll be some fun interaction with that. Any questions on that? Clear? Okay, we have the next. So here's what we're going to do. With this, how many people have a partner? Just raise your hand. Great. How many people don't? And this is where it gets fun, actually. Sweet. This is so exciting. Okay, in James 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. So we're just going to take a couple minutes, and I just want you to pray. Like, ask God who, and then Lindsay and Luke are going to help do some different things. So if you can, just for about 30 seconds, and whether there's a clock or timer, just take a moment and literally ask God, Lord, who do you want me to partner with tonight, or who should be my partner, okay? Go ahead and just do that now. And others that have a partner, pray for them. Thank you for doing that. The people that don't have a partner, girls, go ahead and stand up. Guys, go ahead and stand up and go to the back of the room. Girls on the right side. And Lindsay, can you wave your hand? Lindsay's going to meet you. And so even she'll facilitate something. Luke is going to be in the back with the guys. So just raise your hand, Luke. And go to Luke right now. Those that have a partner, start discussing on Wednesday what would be a good time to meet or how to get together for those of you that do have a partner, okay?
Hey, guys. Okay. So exciting. I always say, if any of you guys have ever come through a group link process, which I know some of you guys are brand new and probably haven't, but you have heard me say probably 100 times that I love more than anything getting to hear conversation, like buzzing, in a room full of people that don't know each other, just making connections and just relating and initiating with each other. So I love tonight so much. We know that a lot of you guys that are here tonight are already established community groups. And so we're so excited that y'all have chosen to come and do this with one another. And then for all of you that are looking for community, just all of you guys, keep coming back, keep initiating. Keep praying, stay engaged in the study throughout the week, and we really think this is going to be such an exciting 4 weeks together. The only other thing I want to say before, really for the next little bit, we're just going to keep this room open, keep the snacks in the back and the drinks.